Hey, welcome to the Upland Nation podcast. Glad you could join me. My name is Scott Linden. I'm the host of the show, podcast, whatever we're calling it these days. Also the host of Wing Shooting USA, the TV show. Hope you're watching it. By the way, thanks for everybody who watches on Pursuit. Set another ratings record last month, so thank you. You can still watch it on Amazon Prime. We're off Pursuit for now. Anyway, big podcast in store for you. I'm going to extemporize on a couple topics that I think are near and dear to your hearts, if my memory serves. The first is lost dogs. How to find one and how to keep them found in the future. And then the second half of our podcast will be my pet peeve. How is the best way? What is the best way to recruit new hunters? Some great ideas out there from you all and some organizations and that sort of thing. And I'm going to give you my own thoughts on that and how we might be able to actually turn it into more hunters. And I'll be glad to explain why that's so important. So stick around if you have thoughts on either of those topics. I hope you learned something, and I hope you come away with more motivation in both of those to keep your dog found and to bring a newcomer along in the field. We are, of course, in the podcast studio outfitted by Cabela's, and there will be a little bit of other things on the podcast as well, from some public access advice, some dog handling tips, and a little bit of everything else. So if you enjoy the podcast, I sure appreciate your subscribing and particularly rating or reviewing the podcast wherever you get it, Stitcher, Apple, whatever they're calling it these days, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else. Well, you got to have hope. That's the kind of the only thing we have going for us right about now. Although the leashes are being lengthened by the day by our governors, we still have a long way to go before hunting season. And, you know, it might be weird. It might not be weird, but it's a ways off. And in the meanwhile, we got to get ready for it. I'm doing some travel planning right about now. So far, Nevada, Idaho, South Dakota, and probably Montana on my list, but I'm a lucky guy, and this is my day job, so I can pull off a little bit more of that than maybe you can. But it doesn't mean you can't start dreaming a little bit, too. I've got a couple Google Map files already pulled together with some big loops in them for a bunch of reasons. There's a lot of stuff kind of close to home for me, and for a lot of people, maybe that is the strategy for this season, staying close to home, whether you're required to or because the money is a little bit tight. Take a look in your own backyard and see what you got out there. And maybe I'll cross paths with you somewhere along the way in one of those states or right here in Oregon somewhere. Okay, our sponsors give us the time and the resources to bring you this podcast. Number one on the list, Sage and Breaker Gun Care. Crafted at the highest caliber, Sage and Breaker is a charter sponsor, I guess. I never thought about it before, but yeah, they've been with me since day one, and I sure appreciate it. Good news, their new cleaning chamois are new again. They're back in stock after a sellout. Go to the website, sageandbreaker.com, and learn more about why their fabric and the treatment they provide it are better than an old t-shirt when it comes to taking care of your guns. And Dogtra, pardon me, I'm so excited about them because I'm using the heck out of their TNB dual collar system as I move Flick from sort of to completely steady and also a non-slip retriever. So learn more about all of their products at dogtra.com. Okay, so you know the feeling. You're listening for maybe a dog panting in the distance, the crack of a broken twig, or the tinkle of that collar tag. Unfortunately, you don't hear it. You turn around, still don't hear it, and start wondering, which way was that guy going when I saw him last, and why didn't I call him back a little sooner? And you know, pretty soon you're realizing that, well, there was a whole bunch of things you could have, should have, would have done, but you didn't. And your dog is lost. So you're yelling, you're looking into the distance, you're blowing your whistle, and pretty soon it's too late. He is absolutely, completely, and totally gone. It doesn't need to be a hunt either. Had a next door neighbor who lost their dog, and I guess the good news out of all of this, and maybe I should start with it, is never give up. Your hunting partner is valuable, not just as a tool in the field, but as a companion the rest of your days throughout the season. In our case, the neighbor lost the dog literally yards from the backyard, but, you know, we live along the border with a million acres of public land, so who knows? It's full of coyotes. It's got a mountain lion here or there. You go a little bit up the hill, and there's a few bears, but mainly it's the elements. And old Tala was 12 or 13 to begin with. God knows where she went, but we mobilized. The neighbors were out. We did a grid search. The whole Magilla, still nothing. Posters, well, you know the whole thing, and I'll talk about more about that in a minute. But the good news is, 2 weeks later and 24 miles away, she shows up. None the worse for wear, and that could probably be the inspiration for every search that we have to make when we lose a dog as well. So keep the faith. Your dog wants to be found as much as you want to find him or her. So don't panic when you realize your dog is out of sight and out of hearing range. Don't get mad at him. It's not the time to be mad, because a dog will probably not come back to a mad owner, or anybody else for that matter. Now's the time to implement a plan. And here are some of the things I've learned over the years. Luckily, not because so many of my dogs have been lost, but I have had a few. Maybe I'll tell you one of those stories down the road as well. But before you go into the field, my first bit of advice. For a whole bunch of reasons, when I leave the truck these days, the first thing I do, the last thing I do before I leave is I put down a bowl of water. I put it in what I hope will be the shady side of the truck when we get back. It's amazing how many times your dog, whether it's lost or not, will circle back to the truck and beat you there. And most likely by the end of that hunt, that dog needs water. If it's already there, he'll probably stay, and he'll be a lot happier and probably a little healthier as well. So, all right, so we lost our dog. Who you going to turn to? You know, really, what does it amount to? Well, you got some friends in the field, I hope. And if you don't, maybe you do back at the parking area, and maybe they're kind-hearted, and they've been there and done that, and they will also join in the search. So step one, a hasty search, just like the search and rescue guys do for human beings. Get everybody into the field and spread out. Now, I leave the other dogs on the ground, and here's why. Number one, they'll cover a lot more territory. Number two, a lot of times, a scared dog, a confused dog, will look to another dog that it's familiar with as kind of a salvation, and maybe follow it back. Especially if it's hiding or something like that, and we've run into that on searches before. A dog is not really far away, but it's for some reason it is just hunkered down, and you'd never find it on your own, but another dog might. They're called hunting dogs for a reason. So get everybody out into the field. Develop some sort of an organization, spread out, but not too spread out, and if you're lucky, you have cell phone coverage or you have radios or something like that. Now, remember that a lost dog is often tempted by some intriguing smell that comes from upwind. So the first search I would make, you got it. That's right. Just like you're looking for birds, because that's what your dog was doing. Head into the wind. It's a good chance that'll be the same direction your dog went. Now, it may not be birds. It probably is not. It might be an antelope. It might be a dead cow. It might be, who knows? Coyote, for that matter. But more than likely, that dog has been tempted by smell more than anything else. Now, if he breaks off that search for whatever that intriguing, delicious smell might have been, he's probably going to circle back. So stay in the area if you can for a while. And remember, a friendly dog might bring him back sooner than a friendly human. During your search, stop and listen. You know the sounds. It's the same as usual. If you have a beeper or a bell on his collar, you have a much better chance. You can hear a collar tag from a great distance. Your other dogs can hear them from even farther away, so watch them as well. They'll cock their head or they'll look in that direction, and if you give them the right release or command, then maybe they'll head that way and they'll come back with your lost dog. In the best of circumstances, that would be wonderful. Watch for dust clouds, wildly flushing birds. Call and blow your whistle every once in a while, and then listen, and then keep walking, cover ground into the wind. All right, have you got that sinking feeling yet? It's been an hour, everybody's looked, and no dog. What do you do next? If you got a lot of people, it's a little simpler. Keep them in the field, and then you head for the truck. Pull out an article of clothing that you've recently worn and put it next to that bowl of water. Actually, you know, it might be smarter to put it by a bowl of water that's in a place you can find again, that's not too far from the truck, but that is in the general direction you think he went. The reason for that is, the reason for water instead of food is the food might attract unwanted guests who might actually repel your dog. I'm thinking raccoons, coyotes, who knows what might come to that bowl of food in the middle of the night. And if your dog is there or is thinking about being there, he might not stay. And that's the whole point of an article of clothing. Some people will put their dog bed out there, and that's another great idea. We tried that trick with Tala back, you know, last winter. Didn't pay off, but she was long gone by then. And anyway, you don't need food. Dog can go without food for a few days. And so the most important thing to do is leave something that smells like you. If you can move about beyond the general bailiwick of your walking distances, then pile into that truck and start looking for some of the temptations you know might be in the area. Cattle. Water sources, if there's a ranch home nearby or a farm or something. Dogs are naturally curious, and especially if they're confused, they'll go to something that may be somewhat familiar. If in your hunting time you passed a carcass of one sort or another, go back and check it again. In the distance, look for circling vultures or a mob of magpies. That's another source of, you know, that's another indication of carrion out there further away, and it might be a good direction to head. We've all found a dog rolling in whatever that thing was when it was alive. It's unidentifiable now, right? Okay, so we've done that search as well. I'm Scott Linden. You're listening to the Upland Nation podcast, hoping that you won't ever have to do these things, but seems like it is a big worry for a lot of us, and so I thought it would be time to kind of outline some of the steps that I've developed over the years in talking to all the pros. So here we are, back to it, step three. Yeah, spread the word. In the bottom, in the back, underneath the passenger seats in my pickup truck is an envelope, and it's got a whole bunch of posters in it. I have a picture of my dog, has my cell phone number, and the big word LOST in bold capital letters. I also have a bunch of thumbtacks, some duct tape, and other things so that I can put those up everywhere in the area. If there's unreliable cell phone coverage, obviously put your landline phone number on there if you have one as well, and ask everybody to keep their eyes peeled. Reach out to local veterinarians, UPS drivers, mail carriers, the propane guy as he goes by. Flag them down. Most of them are kind-hearted folks and will be glad to help. Don't forget to check the local animal shelters, law enforcement, conservation, wildlife refuge guys, things like that. Staff will be in the area, even if their office is way out in the distance. So make the call, let them know. Maybe you can email or message them with more information, including that photo. All of that kind of stuff, hopefully, will get the word out fast and things will get better. You ever lost a dog? It's not a real good feeling. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to minimize it because it is miserable. I've lost a dog for 2 or 3 hours at a time, not for 2 or 3 days, and not forever, but maybe you have. So if you've got lessons of your own, we're going to carry on this discussion in the Facebook pages at Wing Shooting USA and Upland Nation. So if you want to contribute, that's a good place to do it starting today. All right. So hopefully that dog is now back in your truck, none the worse for wear, and you're all happy again, and you swear it's never going to happen again. But how do you do that? Well, you've got some solutions, and so do I. Keep noisemakers on that dog, and I mean everything from a beeper collar to a bell, depending on where you are. But think about the cost-benefit ratio of a GPS collar. It saved me and Flick. No, that was Manny, many years ago. I put that collar on him, put him off the tailgate, turned around to reach for my shotgun, and by then he was invisible, gone, vanished. I had no idea which direction he went, but I did have the GPS collar on, and thank goodness I did, because by the time I figured out where he was across the state highway, and he was chasing deer on the Alvord Ranch. Piled into the truck, got down there, climbed over the fence, followed that arrow on the GPS. About the time he turned around and started coming back, realizing he'd probably committed a capital offense. Without GPS, I'd probably still be walking towards Nevada looking for him. So thank you. Whoever figured out how to put a GPS unit on a dog, I appreciate it. And so will you. Yeah, there's some expensive ones and there's some inexpensive ones. Whatever your budget will handle, it's a small price to pay for peace of mind and your hunting buddy's safe return. You also ought to have your dog microchipped if you have it already. Keep a collar on him. It still astounds me that people will hunt dogs without collars on them. Where else are you going to put the most likely source of his return, an ID tag of some sort with your contact information on it? Now, what should go on that? Well, it depends on your philosophy, on your experience, maybe on a few other things as well. Here is what I think I'm settling on these days, and share your thoughts with me on this. What do you think should be on that identification tag? I leave his name off. Fewer bad guys are probably interested in stealing a dog. Yeah, happens every day, especially in some of those very popular bird hunting states. I don't think a guy would steal a dog if he didn't know what the dog's name was, so he couldn't give the dog any commands. For that reason, I use different commands, although, by the time the bad guy figures that out, he's probably got my dog in the truck. I don't offer a reward on the collar tag. Even if you will provide one to a good Samaritan, leave it off the tag because it does, again, happen. Ransom, demands are a way of life, especially in the bird dog world. So instead, and I'm fudging the truth a little bit, but not completely, I put on the tag, requires daily medication. And I put my mobile number and my home number and my business number and everything else. Reason number one, the good guys out there will work to return your dog because he needs those meds. The bad guys don't need a dog that has problems. Hopefully, they'll just leave him alone. All right, here's to your never having to employ 1, 2, 3, and 4, but always employing all those precautionary tactics to keep your dog unlost. I'm Scott Linden, your host here on the Upland Nation podcast. Sure appreciate your listening. Do share your thoughts on that topic and others. And I'll post this one up on my new website, findbirdhuntingspots.com. So if you want to get all of that stuff without having to scratch down the notes or listen to this 4 times while you do, head over to findbirdhuntingspots.com. All right, still to come, a whole lot of talk about making new hunters, a dog training question and answer, and some public access advice. But first, let's talk a little bit about your dog food choices. Dr. Tim Hunt, veterinarian, sled dog competitor, DRTIMS.com, DrTims.com is where you learn more about him, but more importantly about his dog food. 30% off your first order if you use the code UPLANDNATION. Now, Tim knows a little bit about how dogs perform and how you can fuel your dogs for high performance. Energy density is the key, and he has formulated a number of different varieties to meet your dog's metabolic needs according to the activity level and life stage. Learn more about them and get that 30% off your first order at DRTIMS.com. And I am working on my shooting these days, so hearing protection is a weekly, if not more regular, occurrence around here. ESPAmerica.com is where you learn more about all the choices in that world. Some of the things I love about my electronic shooter's protection, digital hearing protection devices. Custom fit, completely custom fit. Now, that does 2 things. Number one, they're comfortable to wear. You barely know you're wearing them. And they completely and totally close off your ear canal from all those bad sounds, i.e. gunshots. 100% protection. They block out all the bad stuff. Another cool thing about getting a custom set of earplugs, they put your name on them. You always know whose are whose, and hopefully you don't lose them. But if you do, well, somebody's going to return them. ESPAmerica.com, that's where you learn all about the choices, the prices, and everything else. Tell Jack Homa I sent you. From the Cabela's Podcast Studio, this is the Upland Nation Podcast. It's time for Handle It. That's where you learn all the things the easy way, because I learned them the hard way. How do you ensure that your dog stays on point once he slams into one behind a big covey of Bob Whites? Or the one pheasant you found that day? Well, Bob Ferris, renowned trainer and NABDA judge years ago, convinced me that there's 2 stages to a point. There's the instinctive stage. Most well-meaning, well-bred bird dogs are going to slam a point when they get into the scent cone of a game bird. And then there's the obedience part. Because as you well know, a dog only points to get ready to pounce. If you're not around, he's gonna pounce. unless you've trained him well. And the nexus there is when instinct stops and obedience takes over. Bob's suggestion is the moment that dog figures out that you're in the picture, literally or figuratively, he should understand that it's now an obedience command. Whatever the cues, the smell of the bird, the sight of the bird, you're yelling that magic word, whoa. You're praising him, stroking him, maybe you're putting a little pressure on his flank. All of those things really are the whoa command. And if the dog understands that, he's probably going to hold longer. We're not perfect at it, but Flick gave me 3 points last season while I was at least 300 yards away. And he held them till I stumbled, tumbled, and grumbled my way out there. Actually shot a bird on 2 of those occasions. So thank you, Flick, for being a good boy. Okay, so here we are. The Upland Nation podcast, my pet project, and I've been doing this kind of stuff for 20 years on TV, and before that I was doing a little bit more of it on radio. But you know, the whole idea of making new hunters is critical for a bunch of reasons, and you know, I'm not going to lecture on all of that, but I am going to point out a few things. The bad news is, in the last 20 years, we lost 50% of the Americans who hunted. At this point in time, only 4% of us go hunting. We're losing hunters every day to aging out, other distractions, whether it's, you know, too much other things to do, or, you know, peer pressure or whatever. We've got to recruit new hunters. The reason is hunters are truly the powerhouse behind conservation of all sorts. Now, it's true also on the angling side. So if you're an angler, and so am I, you got the same credit coming on your side. You know how we power that conservation? In large part, it's the stuff we buy. Yeah, you know, the usual suspects, a hunting license, the permits that come along with it, any tags and things like that. But mainly thanks to legislation that is called the Pittman-Robertson Act, it's an excise tax on guns and ammo, 10 or 11%, depending on the type of gun, depending on the type of ammo. 10 or 11% is assessed at the wholesale level by somebody way back there in the warehouse. We never see that tax, but it goes to the feds, and the feds dole it out to the states based on how many hunters there are in each state. You want to support conservation? I don't care if you're a Buddhist, a Democrat, a vegan, or anybody else. Buy a gun. That's where the money comes from. And it's billions and billions of dollars. And just for the record, hunters went to Congress and asked for that tax. Now, things are changing right about now. It's very fluid, but the Land and Water Conservation Act may pass and get permanently funded as part of the whole sportsman's thing that's going on right now in Congress. That would be great for conservation. It would fund a whole bunch of other new stuff, and that money comes from a tax on oil and gas development. So far, though, not permanently funded. All right, we pay for almost everything. In my state, that money from Pittman-Robertson Act is 80% of the state's wildlife budget, and it pays for everything. You know, golden-throated warblers, grebes, pheasants, bears, everything. Not just huntable game. Okay, end of lecture on where the money comes from. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed out. Also, that excise tax is assessed on bows and arrows. Guns and ammo, bows and arrows. There's a song title somewhere in there. But nothing else. You know, so the mountain bikers aren't paying, backpackers aren't paying, the bird watchers aren't paying, the hikers aren't paying. You and I are, and our friends in the bow hunting world. Now, congratulations, and you are all doing it. I know you are because I ask you all the time, pat yourselves on the back. You're all taking newcomers hunting, and I sure appreciate it, and so does the resource. Many organizations are now getting involved in everything from, you know, a youth hunting day to a workshop here and recruiting kids from the inner city or women or whatever. Those are all great. I love them all, and I wish you well. There are some obstacles, and I'm not going to delineate all of them, but you can draw some conclusions. If you're an inner city kid from a single parent household, how much time, money, access are you going to have to hunting? I've got a theory. Let's say your dog is on point. You're in Bob White country, but right on the border. You go in on that point and 14 birds get up. 13 are Bob Whites. One is a ringneck pheasant. The Bobs are going every which way, jinking all over the place. The ringneck going straight up slowly. Which one are you going to shoot at? So who is our pheasant among the quail? Well, people like us. And by us, I mean you and you and you and you. And you too. Yeah. Just because you're not like him doesn't mean you don't know people like you. Our peers are our best recruits. Perfect example, me. Got a dog, didn't know it was a bird dog. Neighbor down the street said, hey, nice bird dog. Let me show you mine. He figured out real soon that I was interested. But it took somebody else who saw some interest in me to bring me along. Neighbor, coworker, guy you sit next to in church, doesn't matter, member of your Rotary Club. Those people from all walks of life who are like you have a leg or two up on every other potential recruit. Now, I know in my case, I'd understand if you wouldn't want to join a club that would have me as a member, but look beyond me. When it comes to recruiting, it's worth a little bit of effort. Family member, yeah, they're like you, and they're also right there. Classic. Neighbor. I mentioned a whole bunch of those. There's a whole lot of opportunity in that world. We can't keep it a secret. If we do, there will be no hunting. And that's even in the short term. I had this discussion on Facebook a few weeks ago. Somebody said, quit sharing advice on how to find places to hunt. We don't need any more people in the field. Well, that guy clearly needed a lecture. And I tried to be diplomatic about it, but I reminded him that the reason he has access to public land is because of all those excise taxes we all pay on purchases that we all make. And if we quit buying stuff, then we won't have access to that land because the land won't even be there anymore. And then in the short term or the long term, he's SOL. I don't like to share a field with anybody I don't know any more than you do. But looking at it more globally, on a wholesale level, if you will, we do need more hunters. And it's good for the resource. It's good for the sport. Ultimately, that means it's good for us. Thank you for listening to this lecture. I'm just getting warmed up on this one, and I appreciate your kind attention. As I said, what we're looking for is the lowest hanging fruit. Our friends, colleagues, neighbors, relatives, our peers. They already get us. Everyone who's listening, you know this. You got a friend who's at the same economic level. He understands. He's mature enough maybe to understand that food comes from animals, and he's not put off by that because he's your friend. He understands. You do that. They trust us because they're our friends. There's no generation gap between each of us. And they're looking for things to do. Now, as we age, all of those things times two, plus a few others I won't get into because then other folks get mad at me because they think I'm directing insults at them. But anyway, if we are looking for new recruits, we don't need a pair of binoculars. They're right in front of us. They're under our nose. Now, finally, how do we do it? I'm going to leave that one for another story. You've been kind enough to listen to me long enough on this topic. But remember, there's a few things that everybody wants out of life. They want to have some fun. They want to be with people they like. They want to be in beautiful places. And maybe even a little bit of excitement. Now, our whole card in the excitement department is probably at our feet as we speak. Too many feet. They got a tail. And they drool a lot. Our whole card, our reason for going, is our dogs. What better way to introduce anybody to hunting than to introduce them to your hunting dog? Keep that in mind as we muddle our way through the summer, our training schedules, and all the things we might do this fall. Hopefully you have a good, solid plan for the fall. Enough about that. Think about taking a newcomer hunting. Don't go away because I've got a public access tip and a whole bunch more to share with you, so stick around. Gunner Kennels is the only crate on the market to offer a built-in stainless steel tie-down system. Those pins will not pull out of the crate on impact, unlike every other crate design out there. They also have an exclusive door design, ensuring that your dog will remain in the kennel before, during, and after a wreck. And finally, they may be heavy duty and heavy, but you don't pay for that. Free shipping on all crates at gunner.com. That's my crate of choice. Well worth it. And I talk a lot about the TNB dual collar from Dogtra. You can learn more about them at dogtra.com. You can get 10% off anything over $200. Just use the code SLUN10 at checkout. There is a TNB single. Cuts that price $150. Get the single now, and if you get another dog, upgrade, get another collar, you still have all the same great features. No toggling back and forth. You've got tone, vibrate, beep, stimulate, all those choices and all the buttons right there in front of you. You can work this thing with gloves on. You can do it by braille if you need to. I do, and Flick's the beneficiary, although he might argue that as well. Dogtra.com. Scott Linden here, the host of the Upland Nation podcast. Thank you for listening. Hope you're learning something. Hope you're getting a little motivated about all the great stuff that comes from finding your dog again or finding a new hunting partner. They're both critical. This Land Is Your Land is brought to you by findbirdhuntingspots.com. That's my new website. All sorts of suggestions there, and not just about places to go, but what to do when you get there or preparing for that trip. and also a chance to win a pointer shotgun. Sign up for the mailing list. All right. I had a couple different requests in the same day, which, you know, I may be slow, but I do figure things out eventually. And this one is going to be the topic of either a magazine assignment, which was what I was working on, or a podcast, or both down the road. Cheaping out on the road. That's probably not the way to describe it. Being economical and careful with one's dollars on the road. And this fall may be the most important fall for those kind of things. I'll have more to come on the website. And in the meanwhile, a few things here. But how about yourself? What do you do to save money on the way to a hunting trip? Boy, I've gotten some great suggestions so far on the Facebook page. Here are some of mine. I've usually got an RV of some sort, so I'm not staying in hotels. And yeah, I know. If you do the math the right way, it may not pencil out, but at the moment it does. An RV, whether it's parked in the Walmart parking lot, the Cracker Barrel parking lot, or even in some national forest on the way to somewhere else, probably going to save you a goodly amount of money from a hotel. You know, here's one that, you know, I'm just a music major, but here's another one that you might think about. It's a physics question. Fill up your fuel tank in the morning when it's cool. Gas expands as it gets warmer. So you're paying for less gas at the pump. The other thing is you can put more into your fuel tank for the same price. So yeah, literally the capacity of your tank is a little bit greater. Just be careful. If you jam it all into your fuel tank, you better drive immediately or else some of that gas will just come right back up. Don't ask how I know that. Luckily it was a rental truck. Okay. So save some money, have some more fun, buy more ammo, upgrade your dog food choice to Dr. Tim's or something, all with that money you'll save. And I'll have more on that, and I'd love your suggestions on that because I know you have a few. I saw a great picture just today of somebody who pitches their tent in the back of their pickup truck. Love it. Keep up the good work, everybody. All right, the show is brought to you by HuntHuronSD.com, one of my favorite places. The people, the pheasants, outnumber the people in Huron, South Dakota. 124,000 acres of public access within 60 miles. Learn more and maybe win a Dogtra TNB dual collar at HuntHuronSD.com. And ESPAmerica.com is where you learn more about electronic shooter's protection. I'm a believer. I'm wearing them in the field now, too. You'll see them on TV. And every time I try to shoot better at the range, ESPAmerica.com. Sure appreciate your attention. Thank you for letting me, I don't know, riff on these subjects. Pardon me. Yeah, talking for an hour will do that to you, I guess. If you do like what you're hearing, hope you'll subscribe. Tell your friends. Stay in touch at the Wing Shooting USA and the Upland Nation Facebook pages. Subscribe, rate, or review. It does help both when it comes to getting sponsors and also when it comes to getting more people like you and me to listen to this stuff. Even with the governor's giving us a little bit longer leash, don't forget, that doesn't mean you don't have to stay in touch with family, friends, and our dogs. Have a great training season. Have a great week. Thank you for listening. I'm Scott Linden. Talk to you soon.